Welcome back to the News at Noon. Here's a recap of this morning's auction action from Bo Henricks.
Thanks, Todd. Yeah, so everybody, thank you for tuning in to the News at Noon. I am happy to be able to break down our third day for the 2026 Walk with Grace radio auction here on the radio. We started off the halfway point of the week in our 10 to 1020 segment. Dave Crary's wood or wind spinner wood-burned owl went for $80 to bidder $915. Colleen Burrow's a large fern with blue pot went to a bidder $785 for $30. The Boscobel A&W gift certificate and large mug $55 to bidder $280. And the WRCO Roundup package $25 to bidder $840. The following segment after that, we had the Leanna Crary insulated box and gift certificate $100 to bidder $315. Diane Nautical's raspberry cheesecake $90 to bidder $210. Philomena Poole had the wildflower quilt in memory of Sue Tiller, $300 to bidder $930. The Super Skater Pass from Galaxy Skate Center, $80 to bidder $920. Angelenic Plumbing went for their furnace and air conditioner cleaning and Hornet Zip Sweater, $120 to bidder $230. The final segment for the 10 o'clock hour, Oakwood Fruit Farm's three dozen donuts, $75 to bidder $375. Susan Gaston's flower-themed handmade cards and forever stamps, $55 to bidder $570. The House on the Rock attraction passes, $80 to bidder $280. And Heather Miller's gift certificate to Creative Outlet, $40 to bidder $125. We started off the 11 o'clock hour with the Troxel Farms Elusive Escape Room Passes, $75 to bidder $950. Edward Jones gift certificate to the Richland Locker, $75 to bidder $280. The Pam's Posse Grace Team's Metal Framed Clothesline, $100 to bidder $885. And the Richland Family Prescription Center's $240 certificate, $20 a month for a year, $300 to bidder $740. In the 11:20 segment, the Alan Kazubski's Christian Yelich bobblehead, $50 to bidder $655. Mars Jelenic's fresh baked pie, $100 to bidder $680. The WRCL Brewer tickets to the Brewers versus Braves game on August 21st, $125 to bidder $655. And the Pullaby Farms 10-pound package of steaks, $170 to bidder $890. In our final segment, it was Heartland Christmas Trees Wreath Garland Package, $75 to bidder $655. The Vitesnik Power Sports Gift Certificate, $110 to bidder $740. The Randy Olson Gravel, $480 to bidder $375. Also, the Meister Cheese Gift Box and Festival Swag, $125 to bidder $435. Our two big ticket items of the first hour, because we had four today. The first hour had two items, the Team Kearsaters Kalahari Hotel overnight and quick trip card, $380 to bidder $510, and the Wyatt Seep full court of wood, $255 to bidder $650. Hour two's big items, the Walsh's Ace Blackstone Grill, $335 to bidder $190, and the Town & Country 65-inch LG QNED TV, $400 to bidder $150. Do want to mention we had some people donate to sponsor some of those hours. We had a caller that donated $50 for the 10:20 to 10:40 segment. We also had a $500 Wilkinson auction donation that was helping sponsor the final segment of the day. Also, Benson Insurance donated $100 for the hour two big ticket items. So, in total, without those donations from businesses, our total would be $4,285. Take into account what the people donated to help out, it would be $650 for a total today on day three of $4,935. Now, if we add all of the numbers throughout the week, plus all the matches and donations, we have, after 3 days, $12,515 all going to Grace, which is awesome. We've reached the halfway point. We've now passed it. But the next 2 days, those items, I can tell you, are going to bring in some great money for Grace. Make sure you're ready. 10 o'clock tomorrow morning right here on the radio. You can join all of us. We will be ready. Hopefully you are too. Get your, you know, stretch your arm, stretch your hand out so you can call in and call often. And yeah, looking forward to that. But anyway, thank you very much to everybody today, and looking forward to tomorrow. Back to you, Todd.
Thank you, Bo Henricks. In the news at this hour, yesterday morning, The Richland Center Fire Department responded to a reported stove fire at 16760 Highway 171. Emergency units were dispatched at 11:52 a.m. following the report of an active fire in the kitchen area of the residence. Upon arrival, fire crews discovered that the blaze had already been extinguished. The primary task for the responding units was to ventilate the structure to clear the smoke that had accumulated during the incident. Officials noted that the fire remained contained thanks to the prompt and effective response of the home's occupant, whose quick actions were credited with saving the house from significant property damage. The operation involved 3 fire units and 11 firefighters, with additional assistance provided at the scene by the Richland County Sheriff's Department. Fortunately, no injuries were reported and crews remained on site for approximately 30 minutes to ensure the area was safe. Following the incident, fire officials are using the event as a vital reminder for the community regarding kitchen safety. The department emphasizes the importance of maintaining vigilance in the kitchen and recommends that every household keep a fire extinguisher readily available and accessible in the cooking area to prevent similar emergencies from escalating. The Richland County Executive and Finance Standing Committee is scheduled to convene Tuesday, August 11th at 5 p.m. to address a robust agenda of critical local issues. Meeting in the Richland County Boardroom, officials will prioritize a discussion on the proposed 765 kV transmission line, a 190-mile project spearheaded by Mid-Continent Grid Solutions that has faced mounting opposition from southern Wisconsin landowners and officials. Local stakeholders have voiced significant concerns regarding a lack of transparency and a truncated timeline for public engagement. Beyond the utility project, the committee will shift its focus to the county's long-term financial and physical infrastructure. Members are slated to discuss the 2027 preliminary county budget, a foundational step in next year's fiscal planning, and evaluate the comprehensive facility improvement plan. The agenda also highlights recreational and public safety developments, including potential action on UTV and ATV trails at Ash Creek Forest and the formal creation of an ad hoc committee dedicated to developing recommendations for a new jail facility. This proposed advisory body would address longstanding questions regarding the county's correctional infrastructure and future public safety needs. The meeting will also encompass significant administrative and health-related matters. Discussion will cover private pay rate increases for the skilled nursing facility and community-based residential facility, as well as a resolution authorizing community health services to apply for and accept the 2027 5310 operating and capital purchase grants. Before concluding, the committee may enter a closed session to evaluate employment and performance data for the county administrator pursuant to state statutes. The Wisconsin State Patrol reports on Saturday in La Crosse County near milepost 13 on Interstate 90 westbound. Travelers heading west near West Salem were suddenly confronted by a red pickup truck that was speeding eastbound directly into the path of oncoming traffic. The pickup collided head-on with a white sedan, causing a fatality. The Wisconsin State Patrol, La Crosse County Sheriff's Office, and multiple local police and fire departments from West Salem, Onalaska, and Bangor quickly responded alongside crews from Tri-State Ambulance and Gunderson Air to provide aid at the chaotic scene. Despite the valiant efforts of the first responders, the driver of the car was later pronounced deceased at a nearby hospital. Meanwhile, the driver of the red pickup truck was treated for multiple injuries. This incident remains under investigation. On Monday afternoon in the town of Wheatland, a routine outing on private property turned into a heartbreaking scene that has left the DeSoto community in mourning. Around 4:30 p.m. on August 3rd, the Vernon County Sheriff's Office 911 Dispatch Center received a report of a utility terrain vehicle rollover crash that ultimately claimed the life of a longtime local resident. Lester Rollin Flick, an 81-year-old from DeSoto, was operating his 2018 2018 Gravely JSV 3000 on land accessible via South Glass Road. According to investigators, the tragedy unfolded as Mr. Flick was descending a steep dirt incline. The UTV gained significant speed as it traveled down the hill, eventually causing the vehicle to overturn and collide with a tree. The force of the impact ejected Mr. Flick from the vehicle, which came to rest on its left side across the trail. Despite the vehicle being equipped with a rollover protection system, authorities noted that the seatbelt was not in use at the time of the incident. Emergency responders from across the region converged on the site, including the DeSoto Fire Department, DeSoto First Responders, and the Crawford County Sheriff's Office. While air medical services and additional ambulances were initially dispatched, they were turned back once the severity of the situation became clear. Vernon County Coroner Betty Nye pronounced Mr. Flick dead at the scene. Inside radio reports, political advertising is accelerating heading into the late summer primary season, with campaigns, parties, and outside groups committing $1.2 billion in future media reservations across 209 federal and state races. A new report from Kinetic Political Insights indicates a complex landscape where parties trade dominance across different contests. Ohio leads the nation in forward bookings, followed by California, North Carolina, Maine, and Michigan. With Michigan holding its primary yesterday, the state became a major focus of political attention with extraordinary levels of advertising activity. Kinetic projected that Michigan could see over $1 billion in political advertising this cycle, a massive increase from 2022. The Democratic Senate primary serves as a key battlefield with significant spending from outside groups like the United Democracy Project. As the August 11th partisan primary approaches, Wisconsin voters should begin by visiting the My Vote Wisconsin website to verify their registration status, locate their polling place, and review a sample ballot. For those interested in voting before Election Day, in-person absentee voting is currently available, and individuals should contact their municipal clerk to confirm specific hours and locations. When returning absentee ballots, the Wisconsin Elections Commission advises against mailing them this close to the election. Instead, voters should coordinate with their municipal clerk to utilize secure drop boxes or office drop-offs, ensuring ballots are received by 8 p.m. on Election Day. It is important to note that once an absentee ballot is returned, it cannot be spoiled or exchanged for a new one. On Election Day, polls across the state will open at 7 a.m. until 8 p.m., and any voter in line by 8 p.m. will be permitted to cast their ballot. Residents who are not yet registered may do so at the polling place on Tuesday, provided they present a valid proof of residence document. Additionally, all voters must present an acceptable photo ID, though the address on the ID does not need to match the voter's current residence. In this partisan primary, voters must select one party preference and only vote for candidates within that specific party. Casting votes across multiple parties will result in those votes not being counted. Voters can remain confident in the integrity of the process, as all voting equipment undergoes public testing and the state maintains strong security partnerships to protect election systems. While many third-party groups may send texts or mailers with voting information, citizens are encouraged to rely exclusively on trusted sources such as the WEC or local clerks for accurate details. Finally, while there are no statewide referenda on this ballot, voters should check My Vote to see if any local referenda apply to their specific municipality. A U.S. District Court judge recently issued a temporary restraining order that prevents the U.S. Department of Education from terminating school-based mental health grants. This legal victory was secured by a coalition of 14 states led by the Wisconsin Department of Justice, effectively safeguarding funds that provide vital mental health services to students across the country. The order stops the immediate loss of millions of dollars in funding, which in Wisconsin alone alone accounts for a projected $12.5 million earmarked for the University of Wisconsin and the Department of Public Instruction. These grants are part of a $1 billion congressional appropriation intended to bring thousands of mental health professionals into schools, particularly in rural and low-income areas. The success of these programs has been significant, with data showing substantial reductions in suicide risk, absenteeism, and behavioral issues among the nearly 775,000 students served. Despite these outcomes, the Department of Education attempted to discontinue the grants, citing conflicts with new administrative priorities and perceived ties to diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. The coalition has engaged in an extensive legal battle to protect this funding, having already won multiple favorable rulings against the department over the past year. Earlier injunctions had declared the department's attempts to discontinue the grants unlawful, yet the department recently announced plans to terminate them entirely. In response, the states filed a new lawsuit in July 2026 to prevent these terminations from moving forward. The current restraining order remains in effect until August 24th, providing a temporary shield for the grantees. During this window, the court is expected to hold a hearing regarding a preliminary injunction, which could offer more permanent protection for the mental health programs. The Wisconsin Department of Justice has joined a coalition in a new lawsuit challenging the Trump administration's latest effort to impose tariffs on goods from over 80 countries. These nations represent 99.4% of all U.S. imports, and the lawsuit argues that these additional costs will negatively impact American consumers and businesses who are already facing affordability challenges. Wisconsin Attorney General Call criticized the move, stating that the administration is exacerbating economic difficulties rather than addressing them. This legal action follows previous unsuccessful attempts by the administration to implement similar measures. Initially, the administration cited the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, which the Supreme Court later ruled unlawful. A subsequent attempt using Section 122 of the Trade Act of 1974 was also declared illegal after being challenged by Wisconsin and other states. Now, the administration is invoking Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974, directing the U.S. Trade Representative to investigate global trade partners regarding forced labor. The resulting tariffs of 10% and 12.5% are described as a foregone conclusion that mirrors previously struck down policies. The current lawsuit, filed in the U.S. Court of International Trade, alleges that these actions exceed the administration's legal authority and violate the Administrative Procedure Act. This move comes as research from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York indicates that American consumers and businesses bore nearly 90% of the costs of tariffs in 2025. By implementing these new price increases, critics argue the administration is continuing with failed economic policies. The Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health has issued a critical alert regarding the intersection of youth vaping and mental health. According to their latest findings, the high concentration of harmful chemicals in modern vaping devices poses a significant threat to young people. OCMH Director Linda Hall emphasizes that because the human brain continues to develop well into a person's 20s, youth are particularly susceptible to the high potency of nicotine and cannabis found in vapes, which substantially increases the risk of lifelong addiction. A concerning trend identified in the report is the stress spiral associated with vaping. While many teens turn to these devices under the impression they provide stress relief, the reality is that withdrawal symptoms actually intensify feelings of anxiety and depression. This creates a cycle where young people feel compelled to vape again just to manage the stress caused by the initial use. This normalization in popular culture is further complicated by product designs that mimic everyday items like lip gloss or gaming devices, making them discreet and appealing to a younger demographic. Addressing this issue requires a multifaceted approach involving policymakers, educators, and families. Potential solutions include increasing sales taxes on products, restricting fruit and candy flavors, and shifting school policies from punishment to prevention and support. Organizations like the Nicotine Prevention Alliance of Central Wisconsin are already leading the way by establishing intervention programs and involving youth in developing credible prevention strategies. Ultimately, the goal is to equip young people with healthy coping mechanisms such as exercise or social connection to manage daily stress without relying on addictive substances.